And Jesus Christ specifically saying, my kingdom is not of this world.
No, no, no. I'm sorry. But this kind of thinking is exactly why we have, ironically enough, millions of babies murdered every year in the first place. Because of our rejection of the social teaching, the social kingship of Jesus Christ to reign over our laws. You see? That's the whole point of this. It's not a pious devotion. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt, and this is The Remnant Underground. We have a bit of an abbreviated show this Holy Week, since, well, we're all heading off to church for a few days, as everyone else, most people in this audience are no doubt going to do. But I wanted to wish everyone a blessed Holy Week and also a happy and grace-filled Easter. But the main reason, if I'm being honest, for why we decided to do a show even in the middle of the Holy Week is because I just felt the need to weigh in on what is happening to between Candace Owens, the conservative commentator, and the Daily Wire crew this Holy Week. It always seems like this kind of thing erupts during Holy Week, doesn't it? There always seems to be one more attack on Jesus Christ, this time on the social kingship of Jesus Christ, that comes up during Holy Week. And I think that's more than just a coincidence. But I think it's important to talk about this because it really kind of gets to the heart of the whole thing that we've been talking about for a long time now, about what's happened to the Catholic Church in general for a long time, but specifically since the revolution came out of the closet of the Second Vatican Council. Yes, it happened. Yes, the church was having troubles before that. But where things really came out of the council, out of the closet, was at Vatican II, after Vatican II, in the aftermath of Vatican II. And everyone who's paying attention pretty much knows that. So what's essentially happened, friends, since Vatican II, aside from 70% of Catholics no longer attending Sunday Mass on a weekly basis, what has happened is we've essentially lost our Catholic identity. And the reaction, the fallout to what's happened to Candace Owens now, who's not even a Catholic, what's happening to her is interesting on several levels. It's interesting to me that the woman, the black woman, getting shafted like she is right now, apparently that's no problem all of a sudden. Where are the feminists? Where are the defenders of Candace Owens? A woman who was like 8 months pregnant when this began, when people started going after her, including her own employers, a bunch of white men. But all that's off the table now, I guess, right? Because Candace Owens, she said something wrong. She got fired from the Daily Wire because, why? Because she proclaimed, this is where I just can't even believe that we have to do this. She proclaimed the social kingship of Jesus Christ in the open form. And to do so now is anti-Semitic. She also, I think, put on the face of Christ by defending against the violence in the Middle East, which has now claimed the lives of some 30,000 non-Christians, right? Christians and non-Christians. And she intervened, like a lot of very, very good people, good Israeli, good Jewish people in Israel are doing. She spoke up on behalf and tried to speak for peace. This seems like a Christian thing to do, doesn't it? So that's where it started. And at some point along the line, this woman dared to proclaim Christ as king. And that was the end of her. I happened to see her last program. The last thing she said was, we'll see you tomorrow. Everything seemed fine. She didn't know it was coming. That very day, the Anti-Defamation League went after her as an anti-Semite, and she was gone the next day, and I wonder why. What's going on here? Now, I'll back up a little bit, because what the guys at the Daily Wire think does not matter to me. I mean, I'm really glad. I've always been supportive of guys that will say things like, boys can't be girls and girls can't be boys, and they're out there doing a great job on that, okay? But that's still within the realm of what's protected, okay? You can't talk about the social kingship of Jesus Christ even on the Daily Wire now, okay? And I want to talk about why that is. But that's not my first and foremost. That's not first and foremost my problem. The problem that I have are the Christians, are the Catholics who are lining up to throw this woman under the bus. Conservative Catholics. I saw an article the other day by Michael Voris's former Vatican correspondent, a guy named Gomez, in which he just introduces the whole idea that the Catholic Church and all the popes for the past 1,000 years were essentially anti-Semites. Just tosses it out there without any proof. Thank you, Mr. Gomez, for essentially supporting the central thesis now, the anti-Catholic thesis of the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, right? Their claim that the Catholic Church for 1,965 years, up until Nostra Aetate, up until Vatican II, the Catholic Church was viciously anti-Semitic. Didn't build the greatest civilization. No. Just really, really one thing defines the Catholic Church of the past, and that's anti-Semitism. And that's precisely why any Catholic today who would dare to be attached to the traditional liturgy, liturgical patrimony of the Catholic Church, to the Latin Mass, well, that person's an anti-Semite, right? And so, by the way, is any pope who would restore the traditional Latin Mass, for that matter. Remember what the ADL did to Pope Benedict XVI after he had restored the Latin Mass? They're lining up all over the place this Holy Week to do that. Now, why? This is what's deeply concerning for us, and it should be deeply concerning for every faithful Catholic out there. Now, we get it. 70% of Catholics no longer attend Mass on Sunday, as I just said. So it's not surprising that there is a tremendous amount of doctrinal ignorance, because guess what? The social kingship of Jesus Christ is a defined dogma of the Catholic Church. It was defined as such and made into an actual feast day on the calendar by His Holiness Pope Pius XI back in 1925. So people can say, well, yeah, it's okay as a pious devotion. You know, you like Jesus with the cool hair and the groovy crown, that's fine. But Pius the 11th was not talking about anything that had to do with politics. Oh, wasn't he? When you say that, my Catholic friend, you are betraying a profound ignorance of what your own church teaches. It was precisely for political reasons that Pius the 11th weighed in on this in 1925, when Europe was just on the eve of being crushed on the one hand by National Socialism and on the other hand by atheistic communism, right? In that moment, between two world wars, including two world wars, in that moment, the Holy Father, he didn't suggest more dialogue. He didn't suggest, well, greater urgency with the ecumenical outreach movement. No, you know what he did? You know what he did in that political catastrophe? He promulgated the Feast of Christ the King in an encyclical called Quas Primus. Why? Well, in that encyclical, he explains that the manifold evils in the world are due to the fact that the majority of men have thrust Jesus Christ and His holy law out of their lives, out of their political lives, out of their daily lives, out of their moral lives, out of their spiritual lives. You see, the attack on the kingship of Christ is all about separating Jesus Christ from anything that matters in the real world. You can talk about Jesus Christ on Sunday morning if you want with the church ladies, but do not ever let Christianity ever again have any political influence on our world. And gee, that's working out great so far, isn't it? Since we stopped doing that, since we told Pius the 11th to go to hell, since we uncrowned Christ the King, we're fantastic, hasn't it? Pius the 11th, the Pope, the Holy Father, using the full weight of his authority, came out and said that men must look for the peace of Christ in the kingdom of Christ. Pax Christi in Regno Christi. And do you know what? After that encyclical, in every hand missal printed out throughout all of Christendom, the entire Catholic Church, every church, Catholics read the following words on the feast of Christ the King, and I quote, Pope Pius XI's motto was Pax Christi in Regno Christi. He instituted the feast of Christ the King as a solemn affirmation of our Lord's kingship of every human society. He is king not only of the soul and conscience, intelligence and will of all men, but also of families and cities, peoples and states, the whole universe. In his encyclical letter Quas Primus, the Pope showed how secularism organizing society without any reference to God leads to the apostasy of the masses and the ruin of society because it is a complete denial of Christ's kingship. This is one of the great heresies of our time, and the Pope considered that this annual public, social, and official assertion of Christ's divine right of kingship over men in the liturgy would be an effective means of combating it. Of combating what? Of combating everything, friends, that we're living through today. This is not a matter of mere opinion. Abortion, gay marriage, the mass castration of children, the loss of faith, everything that secularism has brought upon the world, the scourge of secularism, is combated by the social kingship of Christ and acknowledging and proclaiming that kingship. So when they began lining up during Holy Week to make a special case for denying his kingship, do you understand what we're doing? We're calling down the wrath of God on ourselves, our children, and our country by denying his kingship. And by relegating it to the confines of some silly pious devotion that has no teeth and no political power. It has absolutely nothing to do with me setting up my own personal little state where I get to be a Catholic king. This applies across the board, whether it's democracy, a constitutional republic, a monarchy, doesn't matter. That's what Pius XI is talking about. The kingship of Christ must be acknowledged. So, along with Pius XI in Quas Primus, Candace Owens is defending what the Catholic, she's not Catholic. Not Catholic. But more Catholic than 90% of the Catholics out there. She's defending what the church has always taught. That not only private individuals, but also rulers and princes are bound to give public honor and obedience to Christ the King. Do you know why Catholics are going along with this? Well, there's many reasons, but interestingly enough, Candace Owens explains when she doubles down after this happened to her, after she gets fired for what she said, she doubles down on Twitter. And in this tweet, she gets right to the point of it. She says, quote, "The reason why some people believe that with enough insistence they can convince American Christians that the basic truth, Christ is King, is actually anti-Semitic is because they have been successfully spiking the ball on Christianity for the past 60 years. Welcome to the party, Candace. Because here's the deal. It's okay to be pro-life, isn't it? Until it becomes the law of the land. Remember how brave and courageous these conservatives were before abortion was mainstream? And then they laid off on that, and now it's just partial birth, and now pretty much it's infanticide that they'll stand against, right? It's okay to defend Christian marriage until it becomes the law of the land. Remember when the conservatives were defending marriage until it became the law of the land? Now, right? This is the way it continues to go, because without the moral authority of the kingship of Christ, you got nothing to stand on. So as soon as the will of the people enshrine evil into law, you just got to accept it, you see? And in the church, it's even okay to prefer the Latin Mass. That's okay, for now, until Francis gets rid of it. But you know what's not okay? It's not okay to proclaim the social kingship of Jesus Christ. And that is what the traditional Catholic counter-revolution has always been about, the social reign, the proclamation and defense of the social reign of Jesus Christ. Right? It's not okay now to proclaim that. Now they tell us that means you hate people. That's a statement of hate. That's anti-Semitism. Shut up, Christ. Close your mouth, Christ. And why is this? It's because men who recognize the kingship of Jesus Christ, what are they doing? They're acknowledging a higher authority than merely the consensus of the majority. And that's the problem. They are acknowledging his right to rule over us as individuals, just as our states must adhere to his divine moral law under the social reign of Jesus Christ. This is why they uncrowned him. You see? You get it? He is the ultimate authority, not the will of the people. He is the one who has the power to tell us how to live, whether, again, we're in a democracy, a constitutional republic, a monarchy. That's not the point. Which kind of government? Makes no difference. But it's not we, the people, who decide what is right and wrong, right? It's God. It is Jesus Christ, our sovereign king, and ever since we told him to go to hell, they can even kill babies if they can convince enough of we, the people, to go along with it. So yeah, it's okay to have a little devotion to Jesus. You can even call him King Jesus with the cool hair. Go ahead. So long as you mean king in the sort of poetic, prayerful, pious church lady sense, you know, king of all eternity or whatever, he'll rule forever in eternity. But that's it. In the next life, not down here, not in the real world, where Christ actually doesn't matter. Nothing to do with a political order. But out of that, Jesus Christ, we'll take it from here. We the people got this without you, Jesus Christ. See, that's it. Do you know what that is? That's just another way of saying, non servium, I will not serve him, God. Again, I don't expect much from the Daily Wire guys, quite frankly. What troubles me about this story is the spectacle of so many conservatives, Catholic conservatives, piling on Candace Owens, who's not anti-Semitic in any way, and they know it. She just had more guts than they did. She said the thing that matters, and she won't back down. So she's a hater, right? What's happening, friends? Why is everyone beating up on this woman right now in Holy Week? Doesn't that just seem a little bit disturbing? I mean, this doctrine of the social kingdom of Jesus Christ has nothing to do with hate, has nothing to do with the Jews. Nothing to do with the Jews. From the cross, let's have a little catechism lesson on what Catholics actually believe and have always believed, right? From the cross, Christ says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what that is? He forgave them. He forgave the Romans. He forgave the Jews, right? He forgave everybody involved from the cross. So we're going to say, well, yeah, Jesus did that, but we're not going to. We're going to call them Christ killers from now on. What kind of sense does that make? It makes none. So they don't cite any examples of this sort of thing. They just broad brush everybody. Christians, conservative, traditional Catholics, they're all a bunch of anti-Semites. And Christ is king is just a euphemism for anti-Semitism, you see? The little problem there, anti-Semitism would constitute what? Hate. And what do Catholics believe about hating people, right? Hate is a mortal sin. So why would a faithful Catholic commit a mortal sin, damn his soul to hell, in the process of trying to save his soul by hating people that were created by God and made in the image and likeness of God, huh? Why is that? So again, why are so many conservative Catholics then throwing Candace Owens under the bus? Because they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't know their own church's teaching. So they willingly start carrying water for the Southern Poverty Law Center in the hopes that they will never be in trouble with anybody, right? That they can prove how reasonable they are. Southern Poverty Law Center, this whole idea that Christ is king constitutes anti-Semitism, this comes right out of the Southern Poverty Law Center playbook. This is what got the FBI investigating Latin mass parishes in Richmond, Virginia, that everybody got really mad about a little while ago. Remember? This is the line of the SPLC, all you conservative and tradition-minded Catholics who are out there carrying water for the SPLC. This is their line against 1,965 years of Catholic teaching, against the Bible, against the Mass, against the entire Catholic Church. The SPLC wrote the memo that the FBI used for that totally unjust investigation, remember? which was exposed even by non-Catholic members of Congress. Here's Jim Jordan.
What's the difference between a traditional Catholic and a radical traditional Catholic?
I'm not an expert on the Catholic orders.
Well, your FBI wrote a memo talking about radical traditional Catholics. I'm just wondering if you can define it for us.
In the memo, the FBI field office in Richmond recommends infiltrating Catholic parishes that it deems traditionalists associated with the Latin Mass, recruiting FBI informants within those parishes to monitor speech within the parishes.
So that's what the non-Catholics are thinking of, this witch hunt, right? And yet conservative Catholics now, in order to distance themselves from Candace Owens, are bringing it all up again. Doesn't it just make you nauseous? And lots of people are getting swept along with this because they're afraid. Poor little Lila Rose. She's great. Right? I don't know much about her, but she's a fantastic
Instagram
pro-lifer. Yeah, she's fan. Really, yeah. Matter of fact, she spoke at one of my daughter's graduations at Franciscan. Really good pro-life talk. A warrior for little unborn babies. But she too felt the need to weigh in on this.
I think when we say Christ is King, we have to understand both the historical context and the spiritual context of the phrase and what it really means, because it does not mean political power in this world. It does not mean that. It means eternal, sovereign reign of our God, who is omniscient, omnipowerful, omnipresent. He is the King of the universe, but he chose while on earth to die and be treated as the least of these for the sake of our salvation. And so there is this trend that I'm seeing of some Christians online who are saying, basically to Jewish bosses or people in the conservative movement or elsewhere, and it's kind of caught up in the politics of the Israel-Gaza war. I mean, there's all of these nuances, but basically saying, well, Christ is King, take that, take that. You don't want to take the holy words of Christ is King and use it as some sort of put down against your Jewish brothers and sisters. So I think we need to be cautious about maybe the zeal, the zealousness with which we want to proclaim Christ's kingship, and make sure that zealousness is towards his eternal sovereignty and not towards us wanting more political power and media power in this life. And Jesus Christ specifically saying, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a world that is eternity. I am the sovereign Lord in eternity.
No, no, no. I'm sorry. But this kind of thinking is exactly why we have, ironically enough, millions of babies murdered every year in the first place. Because of our rejection of the social teaching, the social kingship of Jesus Christ to reign over our laws. You see, that's the whole point of this. It's not a pious devotion that happens in eternity in some flowery way. Why do we need a king in eternity, Lila Rose? Think about this. Why would we need a king? Where we need a king is on this earth. Where we need a kingship, a social reign and social teaching is on this earth. So that all men can learn to know, love, and serve God in this world and be happy with him forever and the next. Because what people say at this point is, who are you to say that abortion is wrong? Where do you get the authority? You're right. They're right. Excellent argument. Where do we get the authority to say gay marriage or abortion is wrong? It's just arbitrary. If we don't have the social kingship of Jesus Christ, if we don't have the social teaching to the church, it's just arbitrary. And that's what Pius XI is talking about. There is an ultimate authority in this world, on this earth, the authority of the kingship of Jesus Christ. Christ the King established this. And this, I'm sorry, but this tired canard that Christ before Pilate said, hey, my kingdom is not of this world, man. Don't worry about it. Meaning, of course, that his kingship is it's a spiritual kingship over souls, and it's not a social kingship over peoples, nations, or governments, God forbid. But you see, when our Lord says that his kingdom is not of this world, this is the constant teaching of the church. When he said that, he means that it comes from heaven. His kingdom comes from heaven, not from this world. His kingdom supersedes everything else. No human authority can cancel his kingship, whether it's a democracy, constitutional monarchy, whatever it is. It can't be canceled. of this world, the doctors of the church, the great Cardinal P has told us, of this world is linked to the origin of the divine kingship of Jesus Christ. You get it? To the origin, to where it comes from. It does not mean in any way that Jesus Christ denies his sovereignty, which he himself declared. He himself declares his own kingship in Matthew 28:18, when he says, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." So denying the kingship of Jesus Christ, or pretending like it's some sort of nifty little idea for the future after we all die and go to heaven and live happily ever after, denying the kingship of Jesus Christ on this earth, his right to reign over us and our nation, this is precisely why we have the abortion epidemic. This is why we have gay marriage. This is why we have it all. And I want to be very clear. I do not blame Lila Rose. God bless her for everything she's doing. Again, I use her as an example because she is a person who's trying to do the right thing, trying to follow the teachings of the church, right? Trouble is she's just a kid. She's not hearing the teachings of the church, and that's the problem with a neo-Catholic establishment. They don't share the truth with anyone. So I blame the human element of the Catholic Church, which has ignored the dogma of the kingship of Jesus Christ, for 60 years, until the point now where even the Pope himself is out there blessing gay unions, gay couples, because why? Because we the people told him to. You see what it means? We the people supersedes Christ the King. And when you get to that point, look out. But again, this has been ignored by the church. It is an uncontrovertible fact, writes the late, great Michael Davies. It's a fact that Vatican II conspicuously, and one must conclude deliberately, failed to reaffirm the teaching of Quas Primus, in which Pope Pius XI reaffirmed the unbroken teaching of his predecessors, constant teaching of the Church, in other words, that states, as well as individuals, must submit themselves to the rule of Christ the King. Now, this is why for 300 years, Lila Rose, for 300 years, Catholics have been proclaiming the social kingship of Jesus Christ in the face of evil, godless, Christophobic revolutionaries. You understand? Vive le Christois, shouted the Vendeans. Vive le Cristo Rey, shouted the Cristeros, right? Long live Christ the King. And I would charitably ask Lila Rose or anyone else, do you honestly think that when Father Michael Pro extends his arms and shouts, Viva Cristo Rey! And he gets gunned down for defending the social kingship of Jesus Christ. Do you honestly think Father Pro was out there talking about a temporal kingdom for himself, or gaining power in the media, or insulting Jews? You can't be serious. So if you don't apply this to Father Michael Pro, how can you come out on the internet today and apply it in general, maybe to Candace Owens, maybe to others, maybe to everybody who's ever said, Viva Cristo Rey, some kind of code for anti-Semitism? You let the world think that? Do you realize what a scandal that is? Do you think that little Jose Lito had the Jews in mind when he was doing this?
Viva Cristo Rey.
Now that is based on actual records of what happened, not only to that young man, but to many, many of the Cristeros, including Father Pro, with our photographs. Walter put him up on the screen of him shouting Viva Cristo Rey moments before he died. He was the true light which enlighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Remember? And now good people are essentially lining up and saying, we have no king but Caesar? Or at least conveying that impression? The empire of Christ the King, again, according to Pope Leo XIII, in an encyclical letter called Annum Sacrum, he says the empire includes not only Catholic nations, not only baptized persons, but also all those who are outside the Christian faith, so that truly the whole of mankind is subject to the power of Jesus Christ the King. Do you see what the church has consistently taught? Why the rose? Was Pope Leo XIII guilty of anti-Semitism? Was Pius X, St. Pius X, who has encyclicals to speak the same way? Pius XI? Pope John Paul II? Because in 1997, in his homily for the Feast of Christ the King, Pope John Paul II said, now you just, as I read this, you tell me if the ADL would be satisfied with this one. That Christ's kingdom, quote, goes well beyond the borders of Palestine. Everyone who is of the truth hears his voice and recognizes him as king. John Paul, anti-Semite? You see what's happening? If we don't all stand up together and defend our scriptures and our church and our teaching and our king, everything we stand for will be condemned as hate speech. Oh, I get it. I know what it's like. For 20 years, the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center have been coming after me personally, just as they're now coming after Candace Owens. I know how it feels. They don't actually believe that we're anti-Semitic. Of course they don't. What they're trying to do is silence Christ by intimidating us. They want to shut him up by shutting us up. No talk about the kingship of Christ in the public, please. That's offensive to American ears. They tell us even our Holy Bible is anti-Semitic. You remember this from back during, I guess it's 20 years ago, during the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, where we all learned, the world knew, that because Gibson was being faithful to the Bible, well, clearly, the Bible is hate speech as well. And it doesn't matter, friends, I'll close on this. It doesn't matter how many times we defend ourselves, you know, that for Catholics to hate anyone, hate the Jews, is a mortal sin. What about what every Catholic boy and every Catholic girl in Catholic school was taught for hundreds of years, that it was our sins that put Christ on the cross? I can still see the nuns telling us that over and over again, that when we sin, we put Christ on the cross. That's what happened. That's why he hung from the cross. That he sweat blood in the garden. You know, when he started sweating the blood in the garden, so said Sister Mary Ellen when I was in eighth grade, he started sweating blood in the garden when he thought about the sins that we would be committing in the 20th century, she said. It's a pious devotion on her part that she had read from a mystic. That it was us when he foresaw our sins. So this has nothing to do with anti-Semitism or hate or anything else. And yet one by one, this Holy Week, we have watched the followers of Jesus Christ line up to say, we have no king but Caesar, once again, out of fear of the Jews at the ADL. He's standing right in front of us now, friends. He's bloody, he's scourged, and he's crowned, this king of ours. And Pilate asks him, are you king? What does he say in response? Jesus says, thou hast said it. I am a king. For this I was born. For this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Should I crucify your king? Pilate asked the mob. We have no king but Caesar, the mob responds. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Every single time we pray the Our Father, we acknowledge the social kingship of Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So where do we stand this Holy Week, 2024? Please, God, let's stand with him. At the very least, please read the church's infallible teachings on this doctrine, on the doctrine of the social kingship of Jesus Christ before you deny his kingship to appease the ADL. Read Quas Primus, in which Pius XI instituted the Feast of Christ the King in response to growing, ironically enough, nationalism and secularism, because he knew that without Christ the King, secularism would wage all-out war against the church, against the family, against the unborn, against the whole Christian world. Well, look around you. Was he right? Now, do you hear that music that's playing right now? That music is from the Vexilla Regis, which is the office hymn for Passiontide right now. Now, of course, it was abolished by the Church of Vatican II, but it was originally found in Lauds, and some of its verses, I think, tell us why it was abolished. Christ triumphantly unfurls his glorious banners everywhere. Come, nations of the world, and on bended knee acclaim the King of Kings. How great is the happiness of a country that rightly owns the rule of Christ and zealously carries out the commands God gave to men. Beloved King, may the light of thee that we desire shine on us in all its glory. May the world receive the gift of peace, be subject to thee, and adore thee. That's the way the Catholic Church used to talk about Christ the King. And we got a decision to make, friends. Where do we stand? I can tell you, although I've never met her, and she's not even a Catholic, I stand with Candace Owens because I stand with Christ the King. And she's standing with Christ the King. And if that means that we're going to have to suffer for him, then may God give us all the strength to do so. For there is no greater glory than to suffer and die for him. Viva Cristo Rey.